the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more. And the morning breaks eternal bright and fair. The saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.
Welcome to the Lord's Challenge, our weekly quarter-hour broadcast, bringing the reality of God's Word to all people everywhere. Stay tuned as Joshua Daniel challenges us to a walk with God and the corresponding impact that'll have on our lives, families, and society today.
If you will please turn with me to Luke chapter 19 from verse 40. And he answered and said unto them, to the Pharisees, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto your peace, but now they are hid from your eyes. For the day shall come upon you that your enemies shall cast a trench about you and compass you round and keep you on every side and lay you even with the ground and your children within you. And they shall not leave in you one stone upon another because thou knewest not the time of your visitation. I began reading the history of Jerusalem, and what a troubled history. And our Lord, when he wept over this city, he said, You did not know the time of your visitation. It is tragic. When opportunity is knocking, we don't pay heed to it. When does opportunity begin for a Christian? I see opportunity everywhere, all around me. As a matter of fact, this wide open opportunity condemns me. I can't excuse myself. And when does opportunity cease? Well, I don't know if it ceases at all, because opportunity to serve my Lord began to beckon me in my teenage years. 15 was when I put my hand to the plow. And has opportunity in any way declined or shrunk? No. It has only got wider and wider, and its call stronger and stronger. Now you know how the world beckons too. Jesus said, No man can serve two masters. Either he will love the one or hate the other. No middle course. But you know, we are always trying to find some kind of middle course. We think, let's have the best of both worlds. Well, what is the best of the other world? Hellfire? Hellfire on earth and hellfire beyond? What is the best of the other world? I want to see a lot of tinsel, a bunch of rubbish, that which tarnishes and soon vanishes. And that's the best that the other world has to offer. But He that doeth the will of my Father abideth forever. The works that we do in the will of God, they endure. You know, after all, suppose you were given the choice of putting up something like the Taj Mahal or a little shack which will abide there till the next big storm. What would you choose? You would say, hey, I would like to stick my name on the Taj Mahal and say, I'm the builder. Well, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you want something which is beautiful, enduringly beautiful, something which your children will enjoy, something which the generations to come will enjoy? Sure. In our natural way of thinking, that would be what we would choose. But we don't have such insight when it comes to spiritual things and to eternal things. You see, we are almost incapable of distinguishing the evanescent, temporal things from those things which are eternal. We don't seem to distinguish them. We put all our eggs in the nest that will get blown away in the next storm. I don't know why we have that inbuilt disability, and it's a terrible disability. The incapacity to discern that which is eternal from that which is temporal. When you want to give something to your child, you want to give something that endures, something which is beautiful. You don't buy the flimsiest thing and say, hey, here it is, play with it for a day or two. No, you don't say so. You want something which will endure. How do we come to seeking and finding those things which endure? God gives his children that faculty to look beyond. And you know how disappointed I feel with even preachers, experienced people who just don't want to look beyond. They only want to think of their little innings and close it as best as they can. That's all they are thinking of. They're just little tenure in office or in the service of the Lord, what they're just about to do or something, and that's all, and no further. But when you come to the God of Abraham, it is something which you have to hand over. There is a baton to be handed over to the runner that comes behind you. There is a work which you should be able to give over to someone else or a younger person, which will thrive much more after you. I once asked my father, Dad, would you tell me what your vision of what you think God is going to do through this little work? He said to me, I scarcely know, but I foresee a time when there might be or would be as such a falling away that if this fellowship does not stick for the truth and extend the borders of God's kingdom, there is little hope for this nation. But then he obtained promises from God, and he claimed those promises. Such that when Dad was called home, some of the old gray beards, they said, "Oh my, look at this little fellow. He can hardly fit into his father's shoes. Impossible. This is going to decline and disappear." On the contrary, what has happened? This baton was not only given to me, but to many besides me. And as we run with this baton, we find ourselves overwhelmed by the increasing blessing of work that I have no way by which I can visit all the centers where souls are being won in my lifetime. It is just a seed. What Jesus said, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. The Lord put that latent power and potential in every Christian. It's the kingdom of God, that's it. And what are you doing with that potential? You see, my dear friends, here we see the Lord Jesus Christ weeping over a city that had lost its vision and could not recognize the time of its visitation. How do you know if this very day is the day of your visitation? Are you about to miss it because you are so used to conferences and retreats and meetings that they have just become a formal thing to you? It could very easily happen. You have not known the time of your visitation. Today there is a hardening of our hearts. You remember after the 5 loaves and the multitude that was fed, it is recorded their hearts were hardened. So miracles don't necessarily soften hearts. We are drawn to the miraculous. Yes, when the Lord Jesus Christ is there, there should be daily miracles. Let us have the balance. Daily revelation and daily manifestation. Revelation and manifestations of the Lord's presence. Revelation brings more light, more humbleness. More light brings more humbleness.
The speaker on this program was Joshua Daniel. He would like to know what your response has been to the Lord's challenge and would be delighted to hear from you. Please write, and if you have burdens you want to share and want prayer, do let us know. You can reach us on the World Wide Web at lefi.org, or else you can mail us at The Lord's Challenge, P.O. Box 14, South Lyon, Michigan 48178, or in Canada, P.O. Box 31002, Windsor, Ontario, N9G2Y2. We are continually reaching out to millions in many countries, and we appreciate and we need your continuing prayerful support.